Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is my colleague and co-host, and we welcome Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, to report on the situation we know inside Gaza, in the region, and in the United States, and internationally. That is?
Mr. Malcolm, what is happening in Gaza, specifically with the hospitals, the fuel situation, and other reports?
Well, it's a very important question. It's good to be back with both of you, and very critical time. And that is one of the most important questions, because the American people are being fed lie after lie, as are people around the world, in very clever, clearly planned propaganda campaigns supported by state actors and non-state actors, and particularly the repetition of lies coming from the, quote, Ministry of Health, which is a Hamas agency, and the numbers giving quotes of thousands of dead, which are completely unfounded, and while challenging the established facts of what happened when the assault took place against Israel, now people are denying the beheadings and other things, which I witnessed myself. I was down there. I saw what they had done. And you see these amazing assertions, for instance, about water. Israel only supplies 10% of the water to Gaza. There are three pipelines. They blew up two of them. Israel now has fixed a second one. And so two of them are still producing and getting water to Gaza. They talked about the electricity that Israel, quote, cut off, when in fact, there are 10 lines going into Gaza. 9 of them were blown up by Hamas. And Israel is trying to restore additional lines. In addition, during the period of peace, Israel helped make sure that the hospitals and others had redundant sources, so they put in solar heating. None of this gets reported. And so they were able to carry out a lot of the activities. It's not to say that they aren't lacking and there aren't things that aren't there, but it's not because Israel's denied. Israel did not close the crossings. The Hamas blew them up. And on the first day of the attack, killed many people at the Keren Shalom and the Erez crossing, which means that they mortared both places. So there's no ability even to open them up to let goods come in. And they come in through Rafah. And Israel has not objected to the goods. And as you know, today there were a large number of trucks that came through. And Hamas, like Hezbollah, embeds themselves in the civilian population. They use the population as civilian shields. So the hospitals that we're hearing so much about, the underground, underneath them are the command centers and the operational centers of Hamas. So if Israel is to attack the core leadership locations, then they have to hit near the hospitals. And they've tried to avoid it. They kept pressing people to redeploy down to the south where they would be protected, even though they're not required under international law, but they are required and do everything possible to avoid civilian casualties. So then the last thing, the other area where they keep saying is they don't have fuel. They don't have fuel for operations. They don't have fuel. They have enough fuel for all the rockets. And in fact, 500,000 liters of fuel are sitting in the hands of Hamas. Hamas people raided the UNRWA storage facilities for food, for energy, for other things, because the UNRWA people reported it. And we know that the Hamas is holding all of this thing away from the people just for their own use, so that they can have enough fuel for rockets for their own to power the energy inside the vast network of tunnels that they have created. And we're getting a distorted picture of the reality that what Israel has restored, what Israel has continued to try to provide. And when we talk about poverty, one has only to look at the hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars that Hamas took in that didn't go to the benefit of the people, that didn't serve their needs, but is sitting in the coffers of Hamas that enables them to build this monster machine that carried out all of these attacks. And we know that they are dealing in cryptocurrency, extortion. You know, they take 15% off whatever Gazans make when they go into Israel. So we're getting a very distorted picture of the reality on the ground and who's behind the suffering of the people there.
Malcolm, the attacks. The last days have had various reports of Shia militia, surrogates of Iran, attacking American deployment in Syria and Iraq. The Pentagon answered with two F-16 strikes on an ammo depot in Syria. But now we have more attacks by the Houthis launching missiles at Eilat. That is the southernmost city, a resort town on the Red Sea. The Houthis are in the same general area. What is the ambition of the Houthis? What are they trying to do?
Well, as you rightly point out, the Houthis are part of the ring that Iran has established around Israel and around our allies in the Gulf. That includes the Houthis in Yemen. We're based in Yemen and have a great deal of infrastructure, and we're able to launch both missiles and long-range missiles and drones that could perhaps go 2,000 kilometers. They were clearly targeting the port city of Eilat, a resort area where thousands of those who had been relocated, in fact, tens of thousands from the Gaza border in Israel, were put in hotels in that area. They were targeting it. The combined payload just of that first shipment, which was shot down by U.S. forces in the Red Sea, would have been 1.5 tons of explosive, which would have caused massive damage and death. And there was an additional attack yesterday, those drones were taken down as well. In the meantime, the United States struck in Syria and saying it's unrelated to directly to the conflict with Hamas and Israel. But clearly, this attack in western Syria near Bukamam is in retaliation for 19 drones and missile attacks against U.S. bases and personnel, both in Iraq and in Syria, just in the last 2 weeks, including three new ones on Thursday. So the U.S. is responding to it. As we know, Israel has hit many times in Syria to stop the shipment of its equipment to Hamas, to Hezbollah in Lebanon, and to other terrorist entities. But the United States has come under fire, and this retaliation was because of putting American troops in danger.
There have been rockets on Jerusalem. How many, Malcolm?
So today there were a series of explosions heard when Iron Dome took out rockets aimed at Jerusalem and its nearby suburbs. This is the first time in at least a week or 10 days there was an attack on Jerusalem. So it seems that at least six rockets were targeting Jerusalem today, and they did hit homes in various cities around Israel. It's remarkable how they're able to continue to fire, but they fire from within civilian populations where Israel operates very carefully so as to try to limit civilian casualties. But the real war crimes are being committed by Hamas there. And the fact that they would attack in Jerusalem is a real indication of the extremes to which they're prepared to go.
That is.
Malcolm, what are we seeing on American campuses regarding pro-Hamas demonstrations and anti-Israeli demonstrations?
Well, what we're seeing is the results of the woke culture, which we've discussed here many times, and some very disturbing signs in terms of what is really happening and the indoctrination on American campuses across the country. In New York City alone, in Cooper Union, Jewish students were confronted on Thursday by the demonstrators, pro-Hamas demonstrators, singing the refrain of "From the River to the Sea, Palestine Be Free," which means the eradication of the Jewish state. And you think that students, after seeing all the beheadings and all the horrific torturing of people that took place when the initial assault on October 7th against Israel would at least have some sort of a balance, but it's not at all. And they are being radicalized. We know that foreign funds, especially from certain Arab countries like Qatar, have poisoned the campuses in America. The faculty, who are all followers of the radical ideologies and extremist ideologies, and what we saw there, we saw in Cooper Union, and then in Cornell, where over the weekend Jewish students were prevented from going to the kosher facility to eat. They were threatened. They were put in lockdown, essentially locked down in the campus dormitories, and didn't leave for 2 days. And when we see that 2000 Sociology signed a letter about the Israel committing genocide and nothing about Hamas, when we see in other academic institutions these kind of expressions, and even more blatant, without any condemnation by the universities of the students or faculty who are involved in these activities, Harvard launched a task force to help ensure that pro-Hamas protesters feel safe. At George Washington, we saw the projection on the side of the school library from the river to the sea. The theme was shown in Stanford. Students are asked to the school to pay for round-trip tickets for Muslim students to go home, to go visit their homes. I mean, it just goes from more ludicrous to more dangerous all the time. The expressions are almost unbelievable that in the 21st century that people are so blindsided and so full of hate. We are seeing anti-Semitic things, including at times the showing of swastikas and other anti-Semitic manifestations, blatantly anti-Semitic manifestations, not just this anti-Israel campaign.
Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, Thaddeus McCotter, my colleague and co-host. When we come back, international turmoil. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bachman.
You ever wonder how far an EV can take you on one charge? Well, most people drive about 40 miles a day, which means you can do all daily stuff no problem. Go to work, grab the kids at school, get the groceries, and still have enough charge to visit your in-laws in the next county. But they don't need to know that. And the best part? You won't have to buy gas at all. The way forward is electric. Explore EVs that fit your life at electricforall.org.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out. Little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color. That chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.